We are live.
Welcome back. Yeah, it's been a week. We promised we wouldn't leave you any longer. As far as viewer mail, there was a lot. There's quite a bit, but it was all addressed to you, Craig, and it was all in my mom's handwriting. So
it was much appreciated, but it's getting to the point where I'm just going to have to ask you to stop.
Yeah, well, I already have, so.
Awesome. This episode is called Adequate Effort.
She said you're just a really good friend.
Yeah.
Well, we are back.
We are. Welcome to the Arcade Comics Podcast. This week, we actually are going to be discussing what we've been reading and potentially just making a bunch of excuses.
We've been pressed for time. It's tough.
Things have been really ramping up. We're trying to prepare. Also, we're going to C2E2 next week.
Yes. So next week we'll be live the next day from right here talking about C2E2.
From the previous day. Yeah. So we've been getting collections in. We've been getting a bunch of stuff going on.
You know, you want to make time for the podcast, but then when a big old collection of Bronze and Copper Age Marvel gold comes in, you don't want to just...
You got to look at it.
You got to pour through it.
And for those of you who don't know, we actually record here in the loft area of our store, and sometimes it's not available. We've got people up here playing games and things like that. So a lot of that is just to say that this one's probably going to be a shorter podcast the previous ones have been. We're going to be discussing what we've been reading because that's important to keep that moving at least.
We're not going to say it's the best podcast ever, but we're going to make an adequate effort.
Adequate effort.
And that's all Jesus asks of us.
So do you want to start with DC or where do you want to go?
As per usual, we probably can. I don't know if we want to. I guess we can lead off the game with what is coming next week. We both got to read the forthcoming Batman Dark Age number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And won't say much other than that the greatest comics creator currently working is still writing our favorite character. So
absolutely.
It's more of that. But as for this week, I was happy. I was happy and pleased. Jay Garrick's The Flash wrapped up with number 6. And this was just an absolutely gem of a comic. And it wrapped up beautifully. The stakes weren't you know, earth-shattering, but they were enough for Jay and his family. And then, you know, it ends with a celebration of all the other members of the Speed Force. Max Mercury and Impulse and Bart, all these other characters, it gets wrapped up in this beautiful bow, and all you really want is for Jay and Iris to be happy, and that's what you get. So
would you say that that's probably your second favorite of the Golden Ages?
It is. Of the three, Jay Garrick's, Wesley Dodd's Sandman, and then Alan Scott's Green Lantern, which I couldn't get through Alan Scott's Green Lantern. I got through issue 3 mm-hmm. and had to drop that one, but Wesley Scott's Sandman is far and away the best of the...
Vendetti, man.
Man, Robert Vendetti writing Wesley Dodds, which Wesley Dodds has been well served.
Absolutely.
Since the 40s and certainly through Mac Wagner's Mystery Theater. So, yeah, I love they're just doing that. And I think that's it for these. But hopefully, I hope that these sold well enough that like next year we might get like a Dr. Midnight and a Power Man.
That'd be awesome.
6-issue series. Going down the line, though, the series that I got caught up with and now I can't wait month to month to see this is a Hellblazer Dead in America.
Okay.
John Constantine by Simon Spurrier, which I had to be talked into by two or three customers who told me, insisted that this is one of the best Constantines ever, and they were indeed correct.
Good.
Simon Spurrier is... Because
he did the last run, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. Okay. He did the 12-issue series in, I think, 2020 or 2021, and this is a direct sequel from that.
Cool.
And, you know, he's nothing if not loquacious, but when you can write that well... It's absolutely great, and again, most of these are self-contained issues, and each one is each one's like a full meal. And this last one was up there with anything that like Delano and Ennis did, and it really reminded me of the one shots that that Neil Gaiman did.
Cool.
The same thing where you get a story, but you also get like a lesson, but you also walk away feeling something. It was a great book. John Constantine, Hellblazer, Dead in America. It's only a number 4. You can come in and get caught up, and it's absolutely worth it. Speaking,
that one's going to be 8 issues, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Cool. Yes, which is planned 8. So, like, it's not... He gets to tell his whole story. I know that the 12 that he did earlier, he didn't get to finish, and I think this is just him finishing out what he meant to do, and I like that he gets that opportunity.
Sure, that's awesome.
Yeah, but the next one is Nightwing 113. Did you get a chance? You did get a chance.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I was like, this is... A, There's a few that are on my can't miss.
Yeah.
Nightwing was definitely on there.
Yeah, and I texted you that, you know, this one, not the book of the week, but the one that made me openly weep.
Tears, man.
Tears.
Because awesome.
It is the end of the Tom Taylor run.
Not this issue, but this run is.
Yeah, this arc is. Yeah. And it is the best Nightwing run, for my money, ever.
Legacy 300, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is him. This is, I think these last few issues are going to be him taking a victory lap.
Yeah.
Celebrating his run, celebrating all the runs and the character himself. And this has a final two or three pages where, you know.
Tribute.
Yeah. Well, the plot of the story is that it's his birthday. So he gets to do
whatever he wants.
Whatever he wants. Like, so it's all about him. He can't be selfless today. And all he wants to do is
help other people.
Help other people and make his friends happy and make his friends feel good.
But all the gang make an appearance. You get yet another opportunity for Bruce to call him his son, which is always like a...
And then, of course, he gets to lift up his favorite person, Barbara.
Yep.
And it's terrific. But then at the end, you know, you can go anywhere you want for dinner, you know, your choice. And then he wants to go to Marvin George's Pizza.
And that part's the part that got me. Yeah.
Indeed. And indeed, you know, Marv Wolfman and George Perez, who created Nightwing in the pages of New Teen Titans and popularized the character and made him essentially what he is today.
Yeah.
Before handing him over to Dixon. I mean... And it's just wonderful to see him, and wonderful to see Marv making pizza and talking to his creation about how proud he is.
Yeah.
So it was great. And
I'd say this one, you could absolutely read it self-contained. You don't have to know anything that happened in the run. If you know
sure.
who Nightwing is and you know who anything about the history, you'll get a ton out of it.
Yeah.
So it's a good one.
He's Nightwing and he's a nice guy.
Yep.
And he's selfless and everybody likes him. And that's a good time to jump over to Titans number 10, which, again, since Beast World's over, it just continues to get better and better again. And I was wondering, because now, after Nightwing's done with Tom Taylor's done with Nightwing and he's not doing Dark Knights of Steel, I think this is going to be the only book he's writing for DC currently.
As far as announcements go, I think so, yeah. Because he was doing Jonathan Kent for a while mm-hmm. and he had, you know, he was running, you know, 4 or 5 concurrent books.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
so I hope that he's not winding down. Hopefully he's gearing up.
Yeah, for sure.
Something major, which would be, because especially with Marvel making all these moves right now.
Well, I guess it's a good time to think about it, because my speculation is he may be doing, based upon his Injustice work, I think it would be a good home if he had some work going on in absolute power and whatnot with all that stuff.
Which did just get announced, essentially DC's...
answer to the Ultimate Universe, more or less.
Which Scott Snyder's spearheading, which, you know, I think it's going to be all or nothing.
And it kicks off. It's another opportunity for a plug for Free Comic Book Day. Absolute Power, written by Mark Wade, is like this Absolute Power book.
It's going to be like
kind of like the kickoff,
to that,
precursor to it.
And that comes May 4th.
Yep.
Yes.
So we'll have those in shop for people. There's a few special editions. There is the standard Free Comic Book Day version, and then there are blanks that you can get. Those cost like regular comic books do, and then there's an absolutely gorgeous foil that will be available.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Was it? Now, those free comic books, how much are those going to be cost to the
those
consumer?
Those will be free.
Get out of town.
A clever name.
Get right out of town.
But I'm going to pitch now for people who are listening. We actually, this year, a lot of years, what they'll do is they'll have like special statues or special things that you can purchase in store. And for the first few, it was kind of like a feeling it out. But this year, I pretty much bought everything that was available. We will have the special 2024 Free Comic Book Day Harley Quinn Hero Clicks available.
Ooh.
Those are cool. So whether you play or not, if nothing else, you'll have a 3-inch statue to display if you like Harley Quinn. Those are very, very cool. Special Deadpool blankets.
I saw those.
You remember the old school Wrestling Buddies?
Mm-hmm.
They made one that was like a Sentinel, which is hilarious.
Awesome.
It's awesome. We also will have this one, probably the one that's probably going to be the most in demand, is Funko did a one of those deluxe scenes, and it's the Invincible scene where Omni-Man's absolutely whooped the shit out of Mark at the beginning, and he's sitting there, the Think Mark moment. They did a Funko scene for that, which we're going to have a limited amount of those in-house.
I didn't know that. That's going to be awesome.
But we have those.
Boy.
Along with all the free comic books, and we will be running sales and all kinds of stuff. So that is Saturday, May 4th.
It's always a big turnout. It's always a good time.
It's going to be a wonderful time. So I think the pitch there is done, but that's a lot. That's a long way around to say, I think Tom Taylor's going to be doing something in the Absolute Universe is what I think.
Okay. You know what I'd like to see him do? I'd like to see him bring back the Justice League and spearhead that title.
That would be great, actually.
I think that would be a good thing to do too. But hey, either or, I just hope he's. I hope Tom Taylor's not leaving DC.
Yeah, he's been doing good work.
You know, yeah, he's been doing great. And again, he's wrapping up a career run on Nightwing, so that's great. But we can jump over to Nightwing's dad, as we've mentioned with
Nightwing's dad,
Batman Off-World number 4. Jason Aaron continues to do a very, very strange, but very, very brutal, very violent Batman in outer space story.
Which makes me excited for Ninja Turtles if he does.
Oh, man, if it's this gritty and angry and righteous, like, you know, Batman is not going to stop until, you know, he's figured it all out.
Yeah.
But in this one, though, it is, you know, at this point, he's like, you know, I've been away from Gotham for, you know, months now to try to learn how to defeat an alien who we may never even see again.
Right.
We're like,
yeah.
Am I doing the right thing?
Sure.
But you know, once Batman starts, he can't stop. You know, he's like Bad Boy in the 90s. not Bad Boy now. I don't think Bruce is on the run currently.
That's funny.
Although he is broke, so
that's true.
He's
that's
a
true.
Bit like
a little bit like Bad Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, and also this has Batman Off-World features a Tamaranian bounty hunter that you know she may or may not end up being a love interest. She may or may not end up being a good guy, and so far the will they won't they of it has been great, but the absolute brutality of it this is like Mongol's War World. Like nobody's having a good time in this.
Sure.
So it's like outer space is full of like ghettos that are just violent, and you got to just try to make your way the best you can.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting, like, you know, Bruce is the alien to these people, you
yep.
know,
yep.
the strange
yep.
alien creature that they've never seen. And also, like, Bruce's, like, motives baffle the aliens. Like, what do you mean you're just learning their ways just so you can potentially keep your planet safe? Like,
right.
It's a strange, strange thing to do, little person.
Yeah.
But they don't know Batman. Batman is strange to us, too, you know? Like, we also think he's a little off, but...
That's the tactician side of him.
But we love him.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, we have Batman Superman World's Finest number 26. Mark Wade,
Dan Mora,
and Dan Mora just carrying this torch, man. They're what a fun book. And since it is a Silver Age book, and Mark Wade is nothing. I'm not a Silver Age enthusiast or I don't know, diehard fan. We did indeed work in Batmite and Mr. Mixelplick, and they are the ones driving this story. And there are fifth. Dimension shenanigans that they can't control right now, and they have to team up with Batman and Superman to figure this out. And you know that means things are all turned around.
Yeah,
but we get to see Batmites, you know, Flash mites, and
all the mites are cool.
Yeah, Nightwing's mite is actually just a really good guy too.
He's his hype man.
Yeah, he's cheering them on.
That's awesome.
And, you know, by the end of this, Nightwing 113, we also forgot that it's Return of the Jedi like ending where you see what all the other heroes are doing as they watch Dick getting this award and celebrating. Batman, Superman, and Nightwing are both very much celebrations of their character.
Yes.
And you know, there's no better way to do that. Matter of fact, the book of the week is the same thing, and if you know us, you know what that is. But we'll save that because since we're on Superman, we can talk about Superman 13.
Sure.
Again, this is a good series. I like what's happening. And also now the seeds that he planted early with Lex being on Superman's side,
yeah.
letting him take over LexCorp that you're always suspicious of. Your suspicions are finally starting to pay off.
Sure.
And he kept it going for 12 months. I mean, that's something else. But now it's like, you still don't know what Lex is ultimately like, how much he knows and what he plans to do about it, but it's all leading into House of Brainiac, which is the next event.
Which also, I guess, is leading into Absolute Power in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested. This is kind of cool. I mean, this might be the first, you know, glimpse into what Williamson does as far as an event with time.
This is true. And it's interesting because Williamson is running this event, but Absolutely, it's Scott Snyder's event, right?
Yes, but I'm saying that still would have taken the coordination, and he has to have some idea, you know, lead with all the things leading into it, because
I think I'm more
with all the tie-in stuff too,
right?
Because so far we've had Action, we've had Superman, now the first tie-in is Green Lantern, and the next book is House of Brainiac,
and then Power Girl ties in,
yep.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how it all goes, but it's seems like it's pretty cool so far.
I like the coordination, and I like what they're doing with it. And speaking of far out, there's Green Lantern War Journal number 8, which again I think. I think this is all tying together also in a big way, because now all the lanterns are being, all the earth lanterns are being gathered for one purpose. In either the, like Stuart's got his, and then, Hal has just, hooked up with a bunch of the earth lanterns, and, now we kind of know what's going on a little bit with Kyle and Guy, and what Guy may or may not have a backup plan to save everything, to, because, you know, the Guardians are still missing, the United Planets is still running things, and it's still not fun for anybody.
Right.
You know, it's a bit fascistic, and that simply will not do. So all the Earth Lanterns are being, are starting to, you know, meet up, and, you know, you get a bunch of, seven overpowered Earthlings together. We're gonna fuck some shit up. And now that, but like seven American Green Lanterns, which, you know, all the Earth Lanterns have all come from America. I don't know. I think it's
crazy.
That's where God pays attention. I don't know what the deal is.
Statistically, it just seems improbable.
It's almost
like we wrote the books.
Unthinkable. Yeah. You know, if India starts writing Green Lantern, they can make their own.
Exactly.
And there's the Teen Lantern even works into this one. So, you know, we're getting lanterns that I haven't seen in a while or, you know,
yeah,
wouldn't expect to see, but I do like to see it. And I would like to see all the lanterns tie in and maybe coordinate. And then like whatever's going on with Superman and the Zarnians in his book, because of course now Superman and Lobo have to team up, and all of this is leading into a House of Brainiac.
This is cool. At least it's cosmic. Cool. I mean, I'm excited about that part of it.
And if it is all coordinated, if it is, it is like some long-term cosmic Hickman-like plan that leads into Absolute, the DC Absolutes, like it could be incredible.
For sure.
But speaking of incredible is the DC Book of the Week and the Book of the Week. And you guys, this is probably just going to be the Book of the Week until it's either it ends or we do. But that is, of course, Wonder Woman number 8.
We talked about it last week.
We talked about it last week,
a little bit, but yeah,
Tom King, Dan Sampier, starting the new arc, a great jumping on point.
Talked about it. The first panel is not something you're expecting.
First panel is Diana as a housewife, doing chores and getting dinner ready for Steve, and things seem to be a little amiss. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's her first. I think in the run, it's her first face to face with the Sovereign.
I believe so, yes.
But it promises not to be the last, though. But again, talk about a celebration of the character, but just this story is so compelling. It's so great. We talked about the Wonder Girls having their B plot, having a great time. And then the backup being 8 pages of just absolute gold. There's a little more to say at this point, but we will keep saying it. But if you're not reading Wonder Woman 8 or Wonder Woman by Tom King and Dan Sampier, you're letting the best in life pass you by. It's the best book being published by any publisher for my money. But I'm very poor.
No.
Craig, you're not. What do you think?
I definitely think it's up there. To say it's the best, I've made mistakes by saying things like that before. I mean, it's up there. I personally think that Tom King is doing career work, but we'll see. I'm a fan of also his Batman run. So, but I read that and I was like, oh man, this is some of the best stuff he's done. But then I read, you know, Human Target and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we'll see. I mean, cause he's said that, you know, ongoing is his bag. I want to see where Wonder Woman's at issue 23. You know what I mean? Like, we'll see. I want to see how much he's got in the tank. Like, this is still like on within his 12 issue. I know he can absolutely make me cry. Do his,
that's
Tom
true.
King thing.
And number 11 just got solicited, so once 13 gets solicited, then I'll be
sure.
I'll be pretty excited.
And I'm not downplaying that at all. You know how I feel about it. I want to make sure that I leave some room, because another book that came out this week, it might be tied with.
Is it the Marvel tale that we're going to be?
It is a Marvel book, yes indeed.
Well, that's where I was going to go next, and if I'm ready to talk about it, if you are.
I was going to wait and talk about Ultimate Black Panther 3 first, before that at least.
By all means, because Ultimate Black Panther was great. Ultimate Black Panther is actually a little more plot heavy than the first two are.
Yes.
You know, you were dropped in media res in these first two issues, and now 3, it's like, okay, what's going on? What's the story, and where are we going?
Yes, and I'm completely intrigued by, you know, we expect to see Killmonger there, we expect to see Storm.
Mm-hmm.
In the capacity that they're in has been very intriguing. Like, I'm totally digging the Khonshu angle that's thrown into the Black Panther book.
Very much.
There's like a, it's just swapping of mythologies and stuff. And I'm just, I can't wait to figure out how it happens. But it's cool because, you know, the books, I don't know if it's Hickman's influence or if he's dictated all of this as far as like you have a first few pages and then you have those splash pages that come through and it's, and it just feels like regal in a way. You know what I mean? Like, so like you were reading something that was just more important than what you're actually reading. And that just always has that feel to it. And I like Black Panther getting this treatment.
There's like a majestic aspect to
it
that, that not a lot of comics have. I do like that too. I wonder how much they'll lean into the Storm as, God or elemental,
right,
will come through, especially with the Khonshu stuff and with the Black Panther mythos. And I do like the Storm very much.
Yes,
It's a Storm and T'Challa who have not been married.
Yep,
which is interesting.
And I haven't even met up to this point.
No,
which is cool.
And she's the one, and yeah, she has no patience with him right now. But no, it's very interesting. It's the first time where it's like a little bit of a curveball because the first two were just balls to the wall, great fun Black Panther issues. So.
It's cool.
Yeah, so far the Ultimates are batting 1,000 for these new runs.
Absolutely.
Because last week's X-Men number 2 was just a delight. After the bit of a downer of a first one, but again, I'll take good and different over bad and different.
And we're only a month out from Ultimates, which I'm super pumped about.
Dennis Camp. Yes. Yeah. And then is next week Ultimate Spider-Man 4?
This upcoming week is Ultimate Spider-Man 4.
How exciting is that?
So
another good book that's been surprising to me is Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Too. I don't know. Who's the...
It's Phillips, isn't it?
Yeah, Stephanie Phillips. Again, great one. And I'll say, like, the reason I started was because of the Adam Hughes cover for the first one.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes you just got to judge it by that. And so far, it's been great. Black Widow and Hawkeye, their interplay, their long-time relationship, two people who are absolutely untrustworthy, trusting each other implicitly as best friends. I guess maybe only people with their backgrounds can have the bond that they have.
Yeah.
But it's a great book. We're going to find out, because our Hawkeye did indeed assassinate somebody at the end of the first one, so we're going to find out what that's all about, because normally Avengers do not go about shooting people in the face with arrows.
Unless they're Ronin.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, oh, man, yeah. And he was off the reservation. Or unless like you're like some sort of like Skrull warrior that... needs a arrow to the eye. Did you watch any X-Men, by the way? They worked in the Kree and the Shi'ar, man. It was pretty awesome. And it was Rogue heavy. It was a Life Death number 2.
So I started off, I watched the first two, and then I made the decision that I was going to just wait till it was done. And then ever since then, everybody's just been coming in and spoiling everything. So I'm just going to, at this point, just catch up and then watch it as it goes along. So the answer to that is currently no, but as soon as I get a few minutes, I'm probably just going to
blast. Did you do number 5?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, fine, because it'll leave you in shambles.
No, I know what happened, though, because of where I work.
Ah, that's a shame.
It's fine. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, and I can't even tell you how happy I am with all the high praise it has been getting, and I hope it brings, you know, the same way. The funny thing is I know it's working, because with all the, like, we've talked about it before, how we were excited about the new X-Men thing with the reboot and possibly getting the numbers up and a good starting on, you know, jumping on point. Well... the regular X-Men books, like the X-Men 97 comic, have higher numbers than in the regular X-Men books.
Oh, so that's like awesome.
People are invested in this. Like, so that tells me that people are clamoring for X-Men.
They want to like.
Don't
X-Men
know
again.
How yeah. to like get into it. So 97 being the most accessible. If you're not familiar, the X-Men 97 comic is like a prequel to what happens in the series.
Right.
It looks like X-Men 97 may be doing, you know, an MCU canon thing, right? Within this last episode,
it could very much be, and I hope so. There's no better way to do it.
Sure.
The synergy. At this point, if people ask me what's the best way to get into X-Men, I say wait a month.
Yeah.
Went for the reboot.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want to start with Claremont, you know, I'd say just wait a month, and then there's gonna be a great jumping on point, and you know, I'm gonna go all in. So
absolutely,
because I'm also ready to love the X-Men again.
Yeah.
And to be reading them regularly. Did you get the Dead X-Men number 4 this week?
Yes. Yep.
How was it?
It was very satisfying, because they finally actually, instead of time jumping, they actually confronted Moira, and there's some stuff happening there. So it's still a romp. The problem with is I'm reading it in isolation, and I don't know what it actually means on the greater side of the universe with the fall of X and all the other stuff. But in particular, it's fun because I get to deal with these... I knew what happened because I read the very beginning of Hickman, so I understand all of the Moira stuff happened that happened as far as the introduction as a mutant and all of that. And this is kind of the way out, but I missed everything in between. But I think it still works as a standalone, and as long as you like the characters. And, you know, part of the X-Men books always for me was just like, I love the, when you like the power sets, right? Like, it's like intriguing as far as that goes. And this is a really cool book for that. I mean, but they've confronted Moira now, the cybernetic one, and they're reaching a conclusion, I would say. So,
speaking of reaching, so even having not read the rest of the X-Men for a while, you're still ready for some Moira?
Oh yeah!
Oh man!
Want some more?
Oh, it was terrific, terrific, and that's what we call an adequate effort.
Adequate effort.
So does that lead us to the Avengers Twilight number?
I didn't
mean to say it like that. I was just reading. Does that lead us to the best book of possibly the best book of the week? This has been since issue 3, 4, and 5. This has been Wonder Woman's only competition for me.
1 and 2 were no stretch of the imagination.
They were no slouches by any means.
It's just stories need setup, and it's hitting its stride.
You gotta plant the seeds so we can reap the harvest, homie. And that's what. Oh my gosh. After 3, it's like, well, this can't get better. 4 was better. 5 might have been the best so far.
Yeah.
It is an absolute blast of a book.
The characters, first of all, the characters chosen, it was cool and it was very strange. Like Ms. Marvel being part of all of this and basically her being like a housewife at the time.
She's tired, man. She's a mom. Yeah, she has a life now.
It's wild. And then all the references to H-Day, which we finally find out what H-Day is.
Oof. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is neat. It wasn't like a, and it was done in a cool way. It wasn't like a, I hate it when in writing where you just like only subvert expectations into something completely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like,
no, this makes sense.
Completely makes sense. Right.
Yeah. Bullseye going, doing the full arc towards Hawkeye and even wearing the classic Hawkeye outfit, which is, it's such a great design. It's such a beautiful thing. And that's not to say all like the actual subtleties, the actual things that happen within the story. There's a Cap Thor moment. Well, there's several, but there's one that will just make you stand up and cheer. But there's so much of that in this book that'll just
Luke.
You,
oh my Luke man. Cage Luke, moments in these books.
Luke,
fantastic.
I mean, you know, Luke Cage is one of he's a superhero, and this issue he gets to be a superhero.
It's so cool, just like how it runs. Like, you know, Luke is still in that heroes for hire or defenders like ground level role. But
Luke's the one on the streets.
Right, on the streets.
One, like, yep, somebody's got to.
But he's the one that's actually gathered all of the force as far as like
the
sentiment as far as like what's going on. Like you can tell he's just in the trenches and like it's a cool way that Chip introduced him where as time have gone on, like the skin being impenetrable and stuff like that, it's also like as it ages is like kind of starting to seize, right? Like, he's not as mobile as he was and like, things like that.
He literally can't move very, very much anymore.
It's one of the downsides to being bulletproof, right?
Yeah. So he's not just aging. He's also his skin that was always bulletproof. Yeah, it's starting to seize up. But it doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
When the world is threatened, the heroes stand up, even if they have a hard time standing up.
For sure.
And it was just a great issue. I'm loving it. And 6 is coming out. It's going to be the final one. And you know he's going to land this thing.
Absolutely. I mean, he's got a lot of things going for it. And I was very pleasantly, I don't want to say surprised. I was happy that he did what I wanted him to do. And that is like, I didn't want like a James redemption arc.
There's a page or two where I thought, oh, James is gonna, okay, he's gonna see the light. Nope. Sometimes bad guys just stay bad. And even with Tony even gets to make a big speech and it doesn't move.
Does nothing. Like one of those rousing speeches where everybody be like, you know what? Let's band together. And he's like, shut up, Dad.
But also let's they forget like they're using Tony Stark's tech against Tony Stark. That's not gonna work out.
Yeah.
Avengers Twilight, great. And I'm going to call it now. You guys keep an eye on this Chip Zdarsky fella.
You know,
he's going to go places,
which I will say again, I am thrilled to death. Not even a week now. We're going to be talking to the man.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So,
making bad jokes with him. Hopefully,
anybody would appreciate him. It'd be him.
I will be, wringing my hands and speaking to him nervously. A great book, a great, great series. And I mean that wraps up for Marvel for me this week until Blood Hunt and House of X. I mean and the new X-Men and the Ultimates keep rolling.
Yeah,
It'll still be brief on the Marvel side, but I'm excited for it to be to widen a little bit. But that'll take us over to Image if you're ready.
Yep, sure.
Okay, Image. We're talking Cobra Commander number 4. Did you get a chance to read this one?
Not fully, but the attention that I needed to.
After number 3,
yeah,
this goes a place that I didn't think it would. Because 3, we get badass Cobra Commander, and 4, people are trying to run game on him, and I don't think it's gonna work out. I just don't think trying to backstab Cobra Commander is the best.
There's only one issue left on all of these, right? Before it hits greater.
Does Cobra Commander have? I think Cobra Commander might have 2 more.
I think they're all 5.
Oh, 5.
We've got Energon Special comes out free comic book day, and then we have Scarlet and Destro, and then I think they finally did announce that it's going to be 2024 G.I. Joe book that's going to be showing up. So I think it's coming to a head.
Man, the synergy in this.
It's
been great. So there's a couple books that I wanted to read this week that I didn't get a chance to. I didn't get a chance to read Moon Man number 2.
Yep.
And then Sam and Twitch Case Files number 2, which friend of the shop and the show, Ray, shout out to you, buddy, is reading. And so are several other people. And sure. I remember Sam and Twitch being one of the better things to ever come out of the Spawn books.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved it because it's had that, you know, the Gotham...
Was the
guy.
Was it Harvey Bullock?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very Harvey Bullock feel, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, geez, you know, this city, just doing his job. Like, this guy's just trying to, you know, wait out the pension. But
the visual look, I always think like Jay and Silent Bob too. It's just funny. It's all on a bunch of different levels.
In that universe too. Yeah. Bendis did the original, right?
I think so.
I think that's where he made his bones. I just know Sam and Twitch is always one of the good ones. So
There's
Hack and Slash Back to School by Zoe Thorogood, one of my favorite creators and one of my favorite series. And I'm just having trouble getting into it each issue. But I'm gonna get the collected edition. And I'll be all about it when it comes out. But until we get to the last few big ones, I want to point out someone who we're going to be highlighting in the next few weeks is Tom King.
Absolutely.
And he had this was a big week for him. He had 3 big books drop, one being Animal Pound number 3.
Mm-hmm.
This one was about the most dialogue heavy book I've read this year, or just prose heavy book. But he is doing things with that book, and it is important, and it is excellent. The art remains next level. The story remains next level. I mean, he's adapting Orwell, so
sure.
And he's not cutting any corners, and it's all the better for it. So far, Animal Pound has been a great, great comic. I think that wraps up with 1 or 2 more.
Sure.
So we'll see where that goes.
No. Are you talking about that itself? I think it's 5 books. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay, that's fine.
So I think we got 2 more.
And then I was going to save the other one for last, Tom King book of the week, because I finished Somna. Somna wrapped up at number 3. If anybody's ever seen Robert
Clunin and
Tula Lote,
right?
Tula Lote, that's what we're tuning in for. If anybody's ever seen Robert Eggers, great film, The Witch with Anya Taylor-Joy, this book follows that a lot closer than one would think, but it still takes enough chances and does enough things differently that it's still enjoyable. The art is why you're here anyway. And this does have an ending that, you know, I didn't see coming. But when it did, it was extremely satisfying. I'm down for Distillery. James Tinian's one comes out next week. Spectrograph, which I will definitely be on.
Freezing cover on that.
And the Freezing cover is, you know, one a reason to show up. And as far as the Dynamite side, the only one I read this week is because I'm not doing the Christopher Priest Vampirella, because in my experience, Christopher Priest's books aren't as good, even though the covers are great. But Garth Ennis is still doing James Bond.
Yeah.
And I'm always down for anything James Bond, especially great. And coming off of Philip Kennedy Johnson's terrific run with The Myrmidon, and anybody who's read that knows how good it was. And Garth Ennis is definitely making it a Garth Ennis book, but a Garth Ennis James Bond book is fantastic. I mean, we should be so lucky.
I'm sorry to interject, but I think because of the way that the schedules and stuff messed with things on the podcast, because I'm waiting for this one until it's collected and whatnot. But it wasn't last week Zorro number 3? Did you read that?
I did not get to read
you
that.
A chance yet. To? Okay.
Nope.
We'll talk about it then shortly when we get a bolt.
I take it back. I did read Zorro number 3. Yes.
And still fantastic?
It is fantastic. And okay. I'm pretty sure it has 1 issue left.
Yep.
And where 3 leaves off is very much a end of a second act in a great movie that you're watching.
Okay.
So you really want to know, like, oh boy, the stakes have never been higher. Will they find a way to defeat these dastardly fiends? And I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
do you just think they threw out this 4-issue thing to see what the interest was and hopefully it could turn into, can you see it turning into something more longer term?
I can. I think if anything though, the time, cause he is writing and drawing it.
Yeah.
And anybody who's read this or seen the pages knows like this has to be taking just an incredible amount of time and effort to do these. So it might've been that.
Right.
Or maybe he did just have one story to tell. I don't know. I hope it goes longer because it's been a delight. Cool. And the Zorro books, I mean, he's a great character to write well. But traditionally, you know, big names don't do the Zorro because the licensing is always so up in the air.
Yeah.
So it's hard to ever lock down like a major talent. And here you got Sean Gordon Murphy, of all people, you know, coming off of his Batman White Knight. You know, doing something else that his heart set on, you know?
Yep.
So it's great when a great talent gets to do a great character like this, and what we get is a great comic. So, yeah, the Zorro book right now is great. What is that, American Mythology?
That's who usually does these books. This is a massive book. So is that the Whatnot publisher? Or something like that, I think?
Could be.
Yeah, but I think Massive is the one that's doing it. I'm not positive, like as far as who actually has it, but yeah, it's not the American Mythology. That's the other people that.
But he's got a great deal for that.
Yeah,
Sean Gordon Murphy. Yeah, that's great. And hopefully, you know, hopefully he either does Zorro or he gets back onto Batman White Knight.
Yeah.
Whatever's gonna wipe that last arc out of that taste out of my mouth.
Sure.
Boy.
Generation Joker.
Oh, God. Like, Joker's lovable kids and Joker. I mean, all right. Reservation with this one.
Yeah.
But anybody who's not read Sean Gordon Murphy's White Knight, but I do yourself a favor. It's a great book. It's a great, great, I guess you'd say Elseworlds tale take on Batman. And one of the best Batmobiles I've ever seen.
For sure.
Completely impractical. But what are the best Batmobiles if not completely impractical?
Absolutely.
You guys ever seen any of the movies? Yeah, like Batman Forever, which is just a skeleton. Oh man! All right, well, don't shoot at it.
That's hilarious.
But no, we can finish with Dark Horse, which you know, it's got the
they're bringing some game.
They are, and I love it. They're doing their licensing with the Star Wars stuff, and John Carpenter's doing a book, which is, you know, great. I'm not reading it, but you know, John Carpenter. I don't need to convince anybody that that guy's a master, but no, Blue Book 1947, mm-hmm. The great, great James Tynion book that he brought back. And he's telling real accounts of, you know, how the UFO craze came to be, why we have certain beliefs, certain myths and certain legends, you know. And right now we're really working around, dancing around why Roswell, New Mexico has the storied history that it does.
Yeah,
and he gives such like clear-eyed accounts of these, and it's like so well expressed. Like James Tynion is a conspiracy theorist nut, you know, and he's really into all this. I mean, it's a guy that's writing Department of Truth for goodness'
which
sake,
which is coming back.
Oh man, Tynion is finally about to earn that Eisner he won last year.
There,
and it's,
finally,
oh, it's gonna, but it, but it's great because like he has read and poured through all the crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he disseminates it in his own words and gives us this very clear-eyed account with this wonderful art and in these blue book things. And it also touches on where the Men in Black come from, and that whole, like,
yeah,
where we got that idea and what, you know, why did that ever become like a legend or a urban legend.
Hopefully we'll be seeing him on Friday as well.
That's right.
It'll be fun.
That's right. Yeah, because I've got some Department of Truth variants to sign.
Yep. And are we going to talk about Helen?
We can wrap it up with Helen? No, well, yeah. Sorry. First, I was going to do, because you guys can't see it, but I'm holding a puppet, and I want to show Craig, because I was going to take a drink and have the puppet sing Craig a song. But it's I don't know why I chose now to do that, because you guys can't see it. But no, speaking of Tom King, a book that I pulled, I mean, it's a number 2. I pulled it today off the shelf just because the A cover, just because it's so next level beautiful. Yep. Helen of Windhorn, Bilquis Everly doing art that, like, you know, if anybody's read Berserk and you see that, like, you know, Kento Miura died because in service of the art, that's what this art looks like. It would like just tire you out. It is so incredible. It is so, like, it's not just the detail. It's like you have to come up with these the ideas for these details, and like, then
it's objectively
them.
Good, right?
Oh no, the book itself.
A lot of people. No, I'm saying, like, the art, even, like, it's not one of those, like, I don't even think she's like the type where stylistically you have to like it in order to like it. I think it's just
good. I think it's pleasing to the eye. She does have a her faces have this quality of like a 1920s or 30s billboard that you see for like a cracker company.
Yeah.
Something you can't quite put your finger on, but it totally works. But no, everything about it,
nobody's beautiful, nobody's ugly.
No,
like
but
weird,
there's but the pages are beautiful. Yes. And the line work's beautiful and the layouts are incredible. That's the thing is like, you know, she's not just drawing pretty pictures, but it's all about, like the cartooning. You have to go panel to panel, you know, the layout, like how does, is this telling the story? Yeah. And it is a great story. This is, I mean, I guess this is Tom King light. So
yeah,
there's only one dead dad and only one drunk, addict, and only one, you know, or two or three unsolved mysteries. And yeah. And there are very few survivors. You can tell already by the accounts.
Right.
Yeah, but it is a great tale. Helen's dad is one of these famous Edgar Rice Burroughs type of pulp authors that wrote all these books that, you know, became beloved. But what happened to him, nobody knows, and that's driving her to
find out.
Self-medicating, you know, she is a junk. And her grandfather, the disappeared author's dad, knows way more than he's telling. And he hires a caretaker, and the caretaker is the one telling the story. And the caretaker she is a good person. She cares about her job. She wants Helen to
straighten things
come out of this fog. Yeah, wants her to. She sees that there's a good person there that could be more if she could just get over the disappearance of her dad and her very distant grandfather. And I'm sure the mother was mentioned, but I don't know. But she's not in the picture. In this issue, they come upon the grandfather. And he on the grounds on their very large estate, and the grandfather's feeding this creature, and it's a creature that is from one of the books, but it's not just from one of the books, like, which obviously, okay, like, how does that happen? But it is as Helen imagined it to look. So like, how is he seeing it?
The exact same way that her father would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an incredible, like, okay, the plot doth thicken, and I don't know, is this a limited series, right?
Yes.
I think it's going to be six.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know where it could go, but after this last issue, it's got this great mix of like Edwardian era, like storytelling, but also fantasy, but yeah. never like highfalutin or never like, now we're going to go on a grand adventure. Like at the end of this issue, they are going to go on a grand adventure, but it sounds like work.
Right.
It's like, all right, like the grandfather's like, come, child, now you and me are going to go on this grand adventure. And it's like, none of it doesn't sound fun. It sounds like, well, it's going to be a lot of walking.
Sure.
You know, it's so it kind of grounds it, but it doesn't take the fun out of it. It just takes the whimsy out of it. So I'm here for Helen of Windhorn. And you know, if they want to do a whole like six issue thing about like, you know, like we're going to, it's called kitten strangling. And yeah. The whole plot is about how, like, different ways to, like, strangle kittens and then microwave them. But Bill Quist-Everly did the art. I'm like, well, let me see some more dead kittens, man.
Absolutely.
Sign me up. But you know, as for now, I'll take
kitten
this.
Kitten
strangling from Tom King and Bill Quist-Everly. You know, it'll win an Eisner. But, you know, as of now, the cats are all safe in this book, and we're in good hands.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was our adequate effort.
I agree. It was adequate.
I would say more than adequate, but I'd be lying.
And we, you know, we did shy off from the deep dive on our books that we did prefer this week.
Yes.
On purpose, due to the fact, like we had said previously, we're doing a Tom King spotlight.
We're gonna do
coming
a Tom,
up where
Tom
we're gonna
King
do
spotlight.
The dive. So that's why we kind of glossed over it in that way, not to, you know, again, yeah. I told you we'd be making excuses, and there's another one.
Because
a lot of my time, admittedly, this week I was going back and reading Vision.
Okay,
but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
so
that's good. I my neck kind of hurts.
Yeah,
so I don't think we can go that long today because my neck kind of hurts.
So we're gonna call it then.
Yeah, you know, let's just call it. But you know, we're gonna be back soon. We're gonna be back hard. they're gonna be back to. We're gonna have 90 minutes of gold for you. But as of right now, we have less than that.
We do
you know, bronze.
Half of that, in fact.
Oh, hey, that's not bad.
That is not bad at all.
That's
adequate.
Adequate effort.
Adequate.
All right. Until next time, everybody.
Yep. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.